Well, good morning and happy Easter. We are in the sixth Sunday of Easter, and the season is set aside for us to be present to what's coming alive in us. So this morning, are we able to be present to that? So I thought maybe to get us started, we could ponder a question. What makes it hard to be present? Like, especially in this quarantine, it's unusual. And when you are present, what does it feel like? So I'll give you a couple minutes to share in the YouTube chat. All right. And this time really makes it unusual in terms of what distracts us. When we're present, what we're present to. So during this quarantine, I took a masterclass with one of my favorite photographers, Joel Meyerowitz. And he talks about how you don't take a picture, you create a photograph. And I really like that. He says our lives, it's like a movie that keeps moving, right? Time just passes, passes, passes. And most of it, we're not present to it. And he says, when you create a photograph, you take time that's just moving. We're missing most of it. And you capture it to the present moment. And in doing so, you're telling a story with the different pieces in the photograph. So this is one of my favorite photographs of his. It's probably just another day in New York. You know, everyone's busy. They've got deadlines. They're going to work. And time's just passing, passing, passing. And here's this guy who's got a dog, and he's walking. And then boom, he captures that present moment. Does that make sense? So this is one of my favorite photographs I've taken. I was in Delhi in India several years ago, probably 5 years ago. And on this busy street in this market with the sights and the smells and the sounds, there's kids running around, there's spices that you could smell, there's cows walking down the street. And then this trolley comes by me pretty quick. And without thinking, I instinctively start chasing. It probably took me four blocks. I turn right. And these kids see me coming. And so right when I capture that moment, boom. This would have otherwise been a normal afternoon. This is just another day coming home from school. And I was able to be there in that present moment. So the question I have this morning, we have all this life. What's alive in us, passing before us, passing before. And are we present to what's alive before us? How much life has passed us without us being able to witness it? And so last week I shared a practice that's been helpful to me in this quarantine. It's a practice by Thich Nhat Hanh. And maybe I'll explain it a little bit more before we practice it together. The practice is to breathe in, I calm my body. So when you breathe in, you notice how short our breaths often are. The tightness in our neck, maybe our eyebrows. So as you breathe in, you calm your body. Then you breathe out. And as you smile, you relax hundreds of muscles. You send endorphins to your brain. You're preparing your body to be present. And then the practice is to dwell in the present moment, where we often postpone life to later. Like, I'll be present to life after I finish my degree, after I get my job, after I buy a house, after I buy a car, after I find a partner, after I have kids. And Thich Nhat Hanh says this. He says, we're not capable of being alive in the present moment. We always postpone being alive to the future. We don't know exactly when. It is possible we will never truly be alive our entire life. And when we breathe out, we say, I know this is a wonderful moment. To truly be here now and to enjoy the present moment is our most important task. And I found this practice really helpful. you know, the last half hour when we were trying to scramble to get the Zoom work, I practiced it a few times and I noticed my body calming. And even in the present moment, when there was some anxiety, I was able to be with it. And so as we begin this morning, I invite you into this practice. So if you would, take a deep breath in and feel your body calm and breathe out as you smile. Dwelling in the present moment. This is a wonderful moment, and we're all in it together right now. And so in our lectionary text this morning, we're in John 14. And Jesus is offering the Holy Spirit as an advocate to us, to be present to our life, to be present to what's alive, all of it, the light and the shadows, the beauty and the mess, that the Holy Spirit becomes this doorway to the present. So let's pick this up in verse 15. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I'll ask the Father, he'll give you another advocate, another helper, to be with you." And what's the word he uses there? Forever. And forever actually is a really interesting word. It's two Greek words. For can be translated entryway. Ever can be translated eternity. So he's saying he'll give you another advocate and he'll be with you as an entryway to eternity. So let me ask this question. When is eternity? Is it later? Is it in the future? Joseph Campbell says this: eternity isn't some later time. Eternity isn't even a long time. Eternity has nothing to do with time. The experience of eternity right here and now in all things is the function of life. Does that make sense? When we're here, we're present, we're in eternity. So we could translate the verse like this: he'll give you another advocate to be with you as the doorway to presence. That Jesus is offering us the Holy Spirit as an entry, as a doorway to be present to our life. Okay, so why? Like, why is this important? Like, it feels like externally the world's falling apart, right? Of war, of viruses, of corrupt politicians, racial violence. Why, with all that's going on up there, why is being present to God, myself, each other, why might that be the most important thing we can do right now? So maybe I'll offer a beautiful story as someone who practiced this. So Ocean Vuong is currently one of my favorite writers and poets. He's a Vietnamese American writer. His grandmother fell in love with an American soldier. Then his mother was born. And then his grandmother, mother, and him immigrated to the US and really lived a tough life, PTSD, just to make a life for themselves. So Krista Tippett interviewed him recently, and he talks about this story, how in one of his first public readings, it was in Hartford, Connecticut at the Mark Twain House, and he invites his mother, and she can't understand English, so she doesn't know what they're saying, but she's so proud that there's all these people here to listen to her son, and they're cheering and clapping. And then after the reading, he goes and speaks to his mom and has a strange interaction. So go ahead and take a listen.
And I went back to her and she was sobbing. And it being the dutiful son, I said, what did I do? What happened? Are you okay? You know? And she said, no, I just never thought I'd live to see all these old white people clapping for my son. And And, you know, I thought it was interesting because I said, I'm trying to understand what that means.
Yeah.
What it means, what kind of validation is that? You know, it's not necessarily one that I share myself, you know. So I almost had this arrogant gaze to it. I said, that doesn't seem like victory to me, just because a bunch of white folks, you know, clap. Victory is something else to me, something more. And then until the next day, I was at the salon again with her. Her makeup's off, and she put her nice dress away that she wore at the reading. She took her earrings off. And right out the gate in the early morning, I saw her and watched her kneel at the pedicure chair before one old white woman after another. Wow. It was so humbling because I thought,
right.
Finally, she was below their eye level for so many years. And for one brief moment in Mark Twain's house, they saw her face to face as an equal. And that's when I understood that is victory.
Isn't that beautiful? That's the possibility of presence. He was present to himself and his experience. He was present to his mother and her emotions and experience. He was present to the difference between the two. And he didn't try to resolve it. He was present to the question that it asked. Then the next day, he was present with himself enough to be with his mother and her experience. And in that presence, he came to such a beautiful place of loving compassion. And how often can we get there to be fully here now in this moment? To be here now with the immediacy of someone else and to get to that place of loving compassion, what would be possible in this world? Thich Nhat Hanh says this: the most precious gift we can offer others is our presence. When presence embraces those we love, they will bloom like flowers. If you love someone but rarely make yourself available to him or her, that is not true love. When you are really there, showing your loving kindness and understanding, the energy of the Holy Spirit is in you. And so let's pick this up in verse 17. Jesus said, "This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it never sees him or knows him." It's as if the world is passing by too fast, right? We've got goals, we've got projects, we've got things to do. And the Holy Spirit is inviting us to the present, and the world can't see it. And then Jesus says, "You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you." That we have access within us, the entryway to eternity, the doorway to presence. And so we're going to invite Danielle, and she's going to invite our greenhouse kids, and she's going to unpack this further for us. So, hey, Danielle.
Hello, Vox. Hi, Vox children. Good morning. Thank you so much for your patience. I know it's taken us a little while to get this working. This morning, our teaching is about the Holy Spirit. Gideon called the Spirit of Truth. And how the Holy Spirit dwells within us. What does that mean? Juniper has a song she wants to share with you. Would you take a listen?
Namaste, every day in light, amusement light of me. Say namaste, every day. No one.
was singing Namaste every day. The light in me shines the light in you. The world will live in harmony. What does that mean? The light in me. I'd like to show you something. If you have a candle, you can ask an adult to light it for you, but you can try this another time too. The Bible says God is light. He is all powerful. He warms us. I don't know about you, but when I light a candle, I feel very calm and I feel very present. What happens when the light goes out? The light changes, but it doesn't go away. It's filling up the room. God is all around us, all the time. But Vox children, did you know that God is inside us? Just as we were taking those deep, deep breaths, I can smell that smoke that's filling up the room. God gave us the Holy Spirit to dwell within us. So we are never lonely. And children, you are very, very good at this. You might have to help adults with this lesson. But the Spirit of truth keeps us present. When we are aware, we love honestly. We live in loving kindness. And we're very truthful. So I wonder how we can notice love in our hearts this week. I wonder how we can notice the Holy Spirit within us this week. How can we be present? Thank you for sharing with me. Goodbye, my friends.
Thank you, Jennifer and Danielle. This is what Thich Nhat Hanh says. Really hearing a bird sing or really seeing a blue sky, we touch the seed of the Holy Spirit within us. Children have little difficulty recognizing the presence of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, in order to enter the kingdom of God, we must become like a child. When the energy of the Holy Spirit is in us, we are truly alive. When the energy of the Holy Spirit is present, God the Father and God the Son are there. And friends, this is the only way to be connected to God, each other, the rest of the planet. In the present moment, it's the only way. When we're not present to life, what's alive in us, we start disconnecting from ourselves, our bodies, our emotions. Then we start disconnecting from God and each other. And I propose this is where it all begins. All begins. All of the problems of the world downstream, tribalism, racism, sexism, us destroying the planet, starts with us, millions and billions of us, not being present to our life, our light, our shadows, our beauty, our mess, our love. It all starts here in this present moment. And the Holy Spirit is cheering us on right here, right now. He's saying, come here, in this present moment, there's the possibility of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness. It's here. It's all we have. The fullness of life is now, as it is. Not as we wish it were, not as others think it should be, here, including all the things we dislike, all the things we love, all of it, even in the quarantine. In the quarantine, you are still alive now, not later. And let's not let life pass us by. May we be present to God's Spirit that helps us see each and every moment as utterly, utterly, and completely holy. Now, as it is. And so I'll close with these words from David White. He says, "Your great mistake is to act the drama as if you were alone. As if life were a progressive and cunning crime with no witnesses to the tiny hidden transgression. To feel abandoned is to deny the intimacy of your surroundings. Surely, even you at times have felt the grand array, the swelling presence and the chorus crowding out your solo voice. You must note the way the soap dish enables you, or the window latch that grants you freedom. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. Alertness is the hidden discipline of familiarity. The stairs are your mentor of things to come. The doors have always been there to frighten you and invite you. And the tiny speaker in the phone is your dream ladder to divinity. Put down the weight of your aloneness and ease into the conversation. The kettle is singing even as it pours you a drink. The cooking pots have left their arrogant aloofness and seen the good in you at last. All the birds and creatures of the world are unutterably themselves. Everything, everything, everything is waiting for you." And we pray this in the presence of God, our ground of being, of Christ, another name for everything, and the Holy Spirit beckoning us to be present to what's alive in us. Amen.